Hey, so it's me, the prisoner's wife. I'm a writer. I love stories. I love storytelling. I love listening to other people's stories. And I was sort of looking for different ways to get my work out there. And I've been really lazy about my writing. But I thought that if I pushed myself, if I created a different way other than having to physically type out blog posts, you know, every week or a few times a week. Don't get me wrong, I'm still gonna do that, but I thought I might be inspired. I'm here at the Q Conference, which is a conference for educators who are into technology, and one of the main things that they keep pushing is podcasting and publishing and sharing your work. So here I am. I am in some nondescript hotel room in the middle of the California desert, and I am doing this podcast for you and for me. I want to share my stories with you, and hopefully I will have the discipline to make this a weekly or bi-weekly event. Please feel free to share your comments or send me an email. You can find my email address on the side bar of the site. I look forward to hearing from you. Hope you enjoy the story. Peace. Fuck! Lyris couldn't believe what just happened. On one of the most important days of her life, her career, her body betrayed her. The meeting her agent set up with M. Thompson, one of the top A&R reps at Arista, was cut short by, of all things, her voice. M. Thompson loved her style, her clips, and the lyrics she penned for other artists, but when it came time to hear her live, her voice dimed her out. Lyris had been battling the flu for the past 2 weeks, which left her velvety alto reeling with laryngitis. She fought through a painful version of Sweet Thing, explained her condition, and hoped for the best. She prayed her manager could set up another meeting when she was feeling better, but she knew how these things worked. First impressions were as important as gold. Damn. She rode the A back to Brooklyn in a daze. Damp eyes and a splitting headache began to overtake her, just as a subway Liberace started to bang out a broken, screeching version of Fallen on his beat-up Casio. She couldn't take it. Not today. Not feeling like this. "Can you please shut the fuck up?" Lyris whined, just louder than a whisper. A few chuckles erupted, but no one turned to pay her any attention. This was Manhattan after all. She glared at the performer. He stared back, confused. He didn't speak any English. "Of course," she sneered. "Of course." Lyris closed her eyes and tried to will herself into a state of nothingness. She didn't want to think. She didn't want to replay the morning's events in the shadow of her eyelids. She wanted to see nothing, and she wanted to hear nothing except the humming of the train. Lyris reached her place, checked the flooding mailbox, and climbed the 3 floors to her apartment. From all appearances, she was living well. She managed to scrape together enough money from her singing gigs, temp jobs, and freelance design work to buy a 2-bedroom apartment on the top floor of a brownstone. Owning her own apartment was one of her proudest accomplishments. When she first bought her place, Bed-Stuy was still years from gentrification, and everybody thought she was crazy to move to Brooklyn. But Lyris instantly fell in love with the tree-lined blocks, historic brownstones, and the hard-working, hustling spirit of her neighborhood. Over the last 2 years, Lyra spent every dime she had renovating her apartment. She peeled away layers upon layers of wallpaper and paint that hid her exposed brick walls and ornate oak fireplace. She had her parquet floors redone, and she turned her barely usable kitchen into a cooking space fit for a chef. She loved music, and every inch of her place reflected her love of the classics. Luther, Pendergrass, Nina Simone. Posters, paintings, and old albums were strewn about, inspiring her wherever she turned. Lyris kicked off her shoes, checked her machine. Bill collectors, her mother, and L, it's me. She shut off the machine. Not now, she said out loud, a sardonic laugh scratching its way out of her throat. She wondered, what else could go wrong today? As the sun started to make its slow, winding walk across Brooklyn, the phone rang again. Hello? Lyra said flatly, sounding particularly uninterested in whoever it was. Hey, it's me. Lyra sat up on her couch and suddenly felt the need to do something other than veg out. Oh, what's up? Wasn't expecting to hear from you. She tried to sound nonchalant. Well, I left you a message earlier, I guess. Yeah, I got it. I've just been busy. I was gonna call you sometime next week. Now you don't have to, he laughed, sensing the tension in her voice. Well, like I said, I'm going to be in town for a reading and I thought maybe we could hook up, you know, dinner or something. Well, we'll have to see. I'm pretty busy these days. Besides, I might be traveling to Philly for a gig, so... Yeah, all right. He knew she was fronting. He could picture her fiddling with her hair, looking as cute as the day he left. All right, Elle. I left my cell on your machine. You still got it? Yeah. All right, then. Let me know. I'm doing a reading at Nubian Heritage, and I'd like to see you. Oh, now you want to see me? Lyris mumbled sarcastically. What? Now all of a sudden you want to see me? That's funny. What do you mean now? I've always loved being with you, Elle. Whatever. You could have seen me any time and you ran. Ran? I had to go on this book tour and I had the teaching gig and you didn't want me to sit and wait by the phone. Nah, those were your words, remember? What I meant was, well, Tariq, I don't care what you meant. I'm not Dionne Warwick. I relied on your words. You, of all people, should know how much power words have, right? Yeah, Elle, but things are different. I mean, I miss the sound the dial tone makes. Huh? Exactly. Lyris hung up the phone, pissed. She couldn't believe that after 2 years of sporadic phone calls and bullshit masquerading as Lovelace emails, Tariq thought he could pop back in her life like nothing had happened. Fuck. And today, of all days.